Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're going to have to do a little catching up. We're a little behind schedule here. So we're on page 3, and we're on November 16th, 1926? Okay, great. So the chastisements that have occurred are nothing other... Now listen to this. This is not World War One. This is after World War One and after the plague, where was it, 18 million died? So the chastisements that have occurred are nothing other than the preludes of those that shall come. We haven't even seen the plagues that are going to hit the earth. You have to understand, Jesus is going to purify the world. How many more cities shall be destroyed? How many peoples buried under their ruins? How many places buried and plunged into the abyss? The elements shall take the part of their creator. That's what happened in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. My justice can bear no more. My divine will wants to triumph and would want to triumph by means of love in order to establish his kingdom. But man does not want to come to meet this love. Therefore, it is necessary that I, God, use justice. And while Jesus was saying this, he showed an immense brazier of fire coming out of the earth. I said that once before. And those who were near it were invested by that fire and disappeared. You have to understand what is coming. It's not going to be a normal war or a normal plague. You have to understand this. The chastisement that's coming is going to bring about a complete renovation of the face of the earth. You know, Our Lady said in some of her apparitions that what is north is going to be south, what is south is going to be north. You will not know when to plant. You know, my father, during World War II, he flew from Italy over Germany, and I looked at the places where his aircraft went, and everything was covered with fields of food, even during World War II. Everybody was still out farming the land. You know, that's not going to happen this next time. You know, World War One. We won World War One because we retooled our industries. We won World War II because we retooled our industries. We have no industries to retool. There's no way. There is no way that we can get through this. You have to understand. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm just saying, Jesus says this very clearly. What has happened is nothing other than the prelude of what shall come. This is just the preview. What World War One and World War II were just the preview. Jesus says he's going to renew the face of the earth. Okay? It's very important that we are with Jesus as the purification takes place. He says very clearly, this fire is coming out of the earth. See, fire is going to come from heaven. Fire is going to come from out of the earth. We have not seen anything yet. You know, the depression was tough, but that's going to be a piece of cake of what's coming. Money's going to be useless. And if there will be certain ways to get food, but most people are going to have to sell their souls to do it. Remember, Luisa did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. Why? I think he's saying to us, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about anything. He took care of the Jews in the desert for 40 years. You know, he is going to take care of us, and he promises us that. If we become panicky and become the rest, we just become a mob with everybody else. And Jesus is telling us it's not going to be like this any longer. He's saying that. The world is not going to be like this any longer. He wants us to get ready. What does he want us to do? Panic? No. pray more, but pray his prayers, which are the rounds. Pray more, but to pray Mary's prayers, which are the rounds. Learn how to pray the rounds. November 19th, 1926, my daughter Louisa, what an affront. How I would want everyone to feel my tremendous agony, my continuous rattle, the lethargy in which they put my divine will, because they want to do their own human will and not mine. They do not want to let my divine will reign. They do not want to know my most holy divine will. And this is why that's why the divine will wants to burst its bank with its withering, so that if they do not want to know the divine will, if they do not want to receive the divine will by love, by ways of love, they will know it by ways of justice. So you can be like my first pastor, Monsignor Burns, when I was ordained. He said to me, there's two ways to do it. There's the wrong way and there's my way. And I learned very quickly he was right. And Jesus is saying the same thing. There's two ways to do it, either by love or by justice, but it's going to be accomplished. God is going to do this. He wants us to embrace this kingdom now. When Gary got broke up, if I was reading Gary, I wouldn't be able to speak either. Now is the time that the kingdom is coming. Now. Just think about it. What John wrote in Revelation 12, 2,000 years ago, is happening within a month, a little over a month. Jesus says, I'm going to show the world by a great sign, greater than the sign that with the Star of Bethlehem, about the kingdom being established on earth as it is in heaven. It's not by chance that Archbishop Pichieri died within a month ago. It's not by chance. God has got great plans. And what the Vatican told Archbishop 2005, we want these writings out in all language. And the Archbishop was a little red in the face when the Cardinal said that. It's not done. He died. Where did he go? There he is. He died. Jesus told him, you have to publish these writings. Saint Pius X told him, they were best friends, told him that the writings must be published. Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became Pope, told the Archbishop of Mexico City the writings of Louisa must be published. You know, when Cardinal Ratzinger was a young man in Germany, the writings of Louisa were already there at the Benedictine Monastery. And I can just see very clearly Father Bede saying to this young man, read this. I can just see it. Because everything he's saying, you listen to what he has written. It's to get us ready for the kingdom. I'll tell you, there's some wonderful things coming. God wants this done. So he says, tired of an agony of centuries, my holy divine will wants to get out. Therefore, it prepares two ways. The triumphant way, which we have right now, with its knowledges. These are the knowledges, the prodigies, and all the good that the kingdom of the supreme fiat shall bring. And the way of justice for those who do not want to know the divine will as triumph. We want to know this. So what has Jesus given us? He's given us the opportunity, the book of heaven. I remember back in the 80s, all we had was mimeograph sheets of paper. And we were praying, Lord, we have all the writings. And out of the blue, it's because of the prayers of wanting the writings came out. And when they came out, this means the world is going to change. Through these writings, the whole face of the earth changes. This is what Jesus says. I believe what Jesus says. When people would go to Padre Pio, and they would see Padre Pio, he would go, if they were from Corrado, he goes, what are you doing here? Go back to Louisa. Get out of here. Because he says Louisa is more of heaven than of earth. He says Luisa is a son, a second son that's going to give light and life to the whole world. He says the church and the world is going to focus. Get a high-powered rifle and get a good telescope. You're focused on something 1,000 yards away. Jesus says that's what the church is going to do. Everything's going to be in existence, but the church is going to focus on this one. The newborn of the divine will. The one who has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. The saints had a virtual true of Jesus and Mary. I mean, let's look at Maximian Kolbe yesterday. He had 2 crowns. These were the virtues of Mary. Martyrdom and purity. What Luisa possesses is the totality of that. This is not a virtue. When you begin to read the book of heaven, everything changes for you. Sacred scripture becomes alive. Your breviary becomes alive. The dogma and doctrine becomes alive. Because why? Jesus is feeding you with the first bread, the bread of the divine will. He says, it is up to the creature to choose the way in which they want to receive what's coming. It's really up to us. It's with a fiat, let it be done as you say, or, I don't think so. God says, fine. You know, God has to give everybody what they want. That's the terrifying thing. Look what he did. He gave the devil hell because that's what the devil wanted. You want hell? It's yours. He doesn't stand in our way. We say to Jesus, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. And God goes, what else do you want? What will make you happy? When we're in the divine will, we say, Jesus, let your will be done. What does that mean? Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. We want Jesus and Mary to be alive in us. Volume 20, November 23rd, 1926. Oh, how frightening it was to see the water, the wind, the sea, the earth, armed by divine justice to strike the poor creatures. This is in Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. This is the angels that are bound. An angel of water, an angel of wind, an angel of sea, an angel of the earth, armed by divine justice to strike humanity. This isn't silly games. This is God saying very clearly, I'm putting the power in my angels, because they're angelic powers, to reprimand mankind. So now if you are one with Jesus in the state of grace, if you are one with Mary and you're really striving for perfection, there's nothing to worry about. If you are against the church, against Christ, the angels of the wind, of the water, of the sea, of the earth, armed with swords, divine justice, are going to strike you. I'd be terrified. If you're not in the state of grace, you better tremble. You better tremble, because you're not going to face humans. See, the final battle is in our soul, on our soul. It's the demons fighting to pull us into hell to destroy us. And the angels defending the children of God with all their strength. My sweet Jesus, throwing his arms around my neck and clasping me tightly to himself, made me feel his divine justice. And I felt myself succumbing. And my sweet Jesus sighing told me, my daughter Luisa, I can take this no more. It is necessary that my divine justice follow its course. And you, do not become alarmed what you see, but rather occupy yourself with the kingdom of the eternal fiat. When the creatures deserve to be struck, I, God, direct the ray of light of my divine justice. And I, God, will defend my rights by striking the creatures through the divine will. You have to understand, I mean, they're putting babies in food. I mean, you know about that, right? And Jesus said, the last time we were together, Jesus said, the people will be forced to cannibalize. That's what Jesus said. You'll be forced to cannibalize. Well, they're doing that already. So the one company that does it all the time is Pepsi. You know, you've got to be very, very careful what you're eating. I mean, somebody said to me once, who cares? And I went, you know, this is a serious sin, cannibalization. And again, people go, well, I didn't know it, so I'm okay. No. When you participate in sin, it's like breathing in poison. You're going to be affected. You know, it doesn't matter if you didn't know it. If you know it now, you've got to repent. Lord, I'm sorry that we're taking babies and grinding them up and putting them in food. I mean, this is not a game. I mean, I'm not saying this to you know, make everybody nervous. It is an actuality. Look it up. And Jesus says very clearly, I'm going to defend my rights and I will strike the creatures. Now, well, God is a God of love and He cares that we... No, He's done everything. He died on the cross. He shed every drop of His blood for us. And we still continue to sin. And even in the church, unfortunately, people say, well, I don't need to follow that. No church is going to tell me what to do. God says, fine. It can't. It won't. See, God, He allows us to do what we want. That's the terrifying thing. He allows us to do what we want. You know, we'll be judged for every thought, every word, every deed. Everything we failed to do is, at the day of judgment, we're going to see every second of our life. And that's terrifying. When the illumination of conscience comes, they said, many will die of fright because they'll see the demonic that they've been involved with. Well, I didn't know about it. It doesn't matter. No, it does. When you go to confession, when you make a good confession, what Jesus does is then He opens up other doors. And He says, look what you forgot. And you go, oh, I forgot all about that. I don't think I ever confessed that. Then He opens up more doors. And you forgot about this. Oh my goodness, I forgot about that. It's not just, blessing Father, I said, I didn't really do anything bad. I'm pretty good. You know, it's... You've got to go through your life with a fine-tooth comb. And you've got to put down, and if you have to put it down on paper, and then when you go, you say, Father, it's going to take about 20 minutes, maybe longer. Don't do it during a regular confessional. You know, it's call the priest and say, I want to make a general confession. And then you sit down and say, Father, it's going to take a little time. And if he says, no, don't worry about it, just say, Father, I've got to confess this. No, it's no sin. Father, I've got to confess this. And confess it. See, when you go to confession, you help a priest become a priest. When you go to confession. It's a gift to him when you go to confession. So what does Jesus say now? He says... It was volume 20, December 12th, 1926. Therefore, I, God, had to make a greater miracle, hiding this light within the veil of my holy humanity, and I appeared as one of them, because it represented not Adam innocent, but Adam fallen. So I, Jesus, was to subject myself to all of his evils, taking them upon myself as if they were my own, in order to expiate them before divine justice. Jesus has taken upon himself all our worry, all our fear, all our anxiety, all our complaints, all our negativity, all our sin. Jesus has all of that nailed to the cross. It does not belong to us anymore. The consequences of Jesus going to the cross is we are full of peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus has taken everything from us. Mary, at the foot of the cross, sacrificed her son so that we would live. It was either he died or we all died. What does Mary do? Mary sacrificed her child. Who? Which mother can watch their child die a horrible, horrible, suffering, terrible death? Mary did. And now she's asking us, Would you be willing to let go of all that's interfering you? This is what we put in the basket today. Mary, take this from me. I want to live in the divine will. I want to go to heaven. I want every one of my family to enter into the kingdom. Jesus and Mary, they've done everything. And now they have a newborn. And Jesus is asking us to link ourselves with that newborn. So, one of the things that somebody brought up is the blessing of the rings. The rings, there's three marriages that Jesus tells Louisa. The first marriage is the mystical marriage. Now, none of us here are even close to the mystical marriage. It's the highest degree of sanctity that God gives to mankind. Nobody here can even get close to the mystical marriage. But when we link ourselves with Louisa, the mystical marriage is ours. She possesses it. Jesus said, where all the other saints ended their spirituality, I begin your spirituality, Louisa. And what does he say to Louisa after the mystical marriage? He says, go to bed and stay there. Then he says, don't eat anything anymore. Then he says, don't drink anything anymore. Then he says, I don't want you sleeping anymore. She says, fiat, 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 fiat. As a matter of fact, when she sat up in bed, she never even leaned against the pillows. She, as more of a sacrifice, she sat up in bed for 64 years without sleep. Oh, again, you'll hear that in the Hours of the Passion. I came to dozing off. And what would happen? Jesus would wake her. He said to her, no more eating, no more drinking, no more sleeping. Why? We're going to go through some difficult times where there will be no more food, no more water, no more sleep. And we can panic and scream and rage at God like everybody else is going to be doing. Or we can go to Louisa and say, you're going to have to help me get through this. I link myself to you. So the first thing that we do with a mystical marriage is we buy a ring or have a ring. And we will bless this ring basically and say, I accept your proposal, Jesus. See, Jesus came to earth to find a bride. And he's going to marry the church collectively, but he's also going to marry each and every one of us individually, and that includes the men. See, the soul in God's view is feminine. Sorry, guys. But it's feminine. God wants to marry us. God wants to be... See, the whole thing about heaven is the wedding feast. Why do you think... I mean, I used to make wine, and the first bunch of wine that I made was 150 gallons. And that's 3 50-gallon barrels. That's how much Jesus made on his first miracle. He's saying to us, I want you to party for all eternity, to rejoice for all eternity. And that's what he's getting us ready. The kingdom of God is a wedding feast. When my mom died, I dressed her in her wedding garment. Her wedding gown and with her veil. A few days later was the feast of Saint Aloysius, and it said, and that's who Louisa is named after, Aloysia. And it says, we will greet Jesus wearing our wedding garments. See, we are called to be married to God. This is what he's. The whole thing of being peaceful, joyful, and happy is to accept the wedding proposal. So we're going to bless the rings here today. If you have a ring on, fine. If you don't have a ring, don't worry. Jesus will show you a ring. And then you don't have to wear it on your finger. You can wear it around your neck. You know, we want to be married. We want to accept his proposal. And this is what's going to be so glorious. So that's one of the things we'll do today. Another thing we want to anoint everyone. Another thing we want to do is with the oil. This is healing oil. And then the relics of Louisa. Many, many, many miracles have happened. We just got a new bunch of relics from Father Bucci. These relics are powerful. They're powerful. If anybody is sick, touch him with the relic of Louisa. I remember back in, 93? I think it was 93. We were down in Washington at the Rosary Congress. And this woman said, my baby's dying. What do I do? I said, touch her with a relic, or Louisa, get a priest to anoint the baby. So the priest anointed the baby and then touched the child with the relic of Louisa. Instantaneously, the baby turned pink. It was dying. It was starving to death. The baby now is, I think, 25. Is that 93? I'm terrible with numbers. I learned that from Gary. All right, so there's great things coming. So anyways, use the relics. Anything that you're praying for, go to Louisa and watch what happens. This is the astonishing thing. I can't get over it. Okay. So he says, so Jesus has taken everything upon himself. Why? So that he could redeem mankind. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, and now sanctification is coming. This is why you're not going to find what you find in the Book of Heaven in any of the saints' writings. Like their saints, Archbishop Martinez. He writes about the sanctifier, how to be sanctified, but doesn't even come close to what Jesus tells Louisa about what sanctification is. This is a divine decree that God wants done. So he says, Volume 20, December 22nd, 1926, such are the signs that one belongs to the celestial family to have the same purpose as mine. See, this is to do what God does, to want my same divine will, to dwell in the divine will as one's own home, to work in order to make the divine will known. Now, who do you want this to be known to? Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your co-workers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want it. Who does this have to be made known to? It's us. Go to your room, close the door, and pray. Your family already told you two words, and it wasn't Merry Christmas with the divine will. They don't want it. They really don't. Jesus is saying to us, you have to make this known to yourself. Read, study, put this into practice. So he says, this is a sign that you belong to the celestial family. The same purpose as mine. Jesus was silent for 30 years. Wanting the same will, to dwell in it as one's own home, to work in order to make it known to ourselves. Like I say to people, what do you know in Volume 7 that you love? Tell me right now what you know in Volume 10 that you love. Tell me something that in Volume 22 that Jesus said to Louisa that makes your heart on fire. Do you know it? And most people say, well, I think I read it once, but I'm really not too sure. And I said, some people say, this is what people say to me. Well, my mind isn't like that. I don't do that. You don't? When's your birthday? When's your son's birthday? When's your wedding day? You know those. If you love something, you know it. We have to get in love with the divine will. This is the creature that is recognized with in clear notes from all sides, with reason, with justice, and by right as a daughter, Louisa, who belongs to us, as one from our family, Louisa, who has not decayed from her origin, Louisa, who preserves within herself the image, the manners, the bearings, the life of her father, of he who created her. So, Louisa, you are the one from my family. And more than you, Louisa, and the more you, Louisa, make my divine will known, the more you are distinguished before heaven and earth as daughter who belongs to us. So what did Louisa do? She sat down and wrote. For us, what are we doing? We have to sit down and read. We have to, when I was photocopying the volumes in the Vatican, Louisa's fingerprints were etched onto the book. Her fingerprints were etched onto the book. If you look at the images, I mean, this is what she was doing. She was focused on the volumes. This is what we have to do. We have to be focused on this. This has to become our life. This is not a devotion. This is not devotional. This is to... devotion is easy. You get your prayers in, you're done. Now you can do what you want. You can mow the lawn, you can do whatever you want. To live in the divine will is never to be separated from Jesus. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening. Once you learn the rounds, what Jesus will do, he'll take you outside and say, I'm going to show you how to pray. And you go, what am I supposed to do? He just says, listen, look. You'll see colors of the sky, of the trees. You'll hear the birds chirping and the dogs barking. What happened? You'll smell the flowers. What's Jesus saying? I want you to be in paradise. This is what he said to Louisa in Vine 26. He said, Louisa, your garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It is not as beautiful. But you are the little daughter back in the Garden of Eden. When you go outside, you are in the Garden of Eden. You have to understand this. It's not a pious thought. You want to be with Jesus at Bethlehem when you're praying the rosary of the Nativity? You're with Jesus. You want to be assumed into heaven with Mary in the glorious mysteries? Go to heaven. Let God have his way with you. Don't interfere with him. So Jesus is saying this. He wants us to allow him to reign in us. When we go outside, he's going to say, did you ever hear of this? And we'll listen. You go, no, I never heard of that. He goes, adore me for that chirp. Adore me for that color. Praise me for that dog barking. See, that which annoyed us now becomes our prayer. People go, how do you do this? What am I supposed to read? What are my prayers? What am I supposed to do? Take it easy. Be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Go outside and say to Jesus, show me how to pray. And he'll say, look at that color over there. And you go, oh yeah. He'll say, did you ever praise me for that color, that tone, that hue? No, I haven't. I said, well, come on. You're the voice for that. Did you ever praise me for the dogs barking? Like when you hear an ambulance go by, did you ever adore me for those that are on the point of death? Welcoming, getting them well, to be welcome into my kingdom? See, it's Jesus takes us over. And everything becomes prayer. Everything becomes prayer. He has so many things that he wants to show us. See, we've learned by the saints, the prayers of the saints. The prayers of St. Francis, the prayers of St. Ignatius, the prayers of St. Teresa. These are beautiful, holy prayers. But they're not the prayers of Jesus. They're not the prayers of Mary. These are found in the rounds. This is how Jesus prayed. He looked at everything in the name of every human being since Adam fell. And I adore you, Lord, for this color that everyone saw that never praised you. I adore you, God, for those clouds that everyone saw but never praised you. I adore you, God, for the waves, for the I love yous of the waves that everyone saw but nobody praised you. What happens? Everything becomes a prayer. Your life becomes a prayer. And I'll tell you, like with Louisa, remember Jesus said the reason Jesus wouldn't let Louisa sleep is he took her all throughout the universe. And I remember the first time I went to Corrado, I looked at her socks and they were dirty and they had holes in them. And I go, can they buy her a nice pair of socks? I mean, but she toured the universe. And she'd wake up in the morning and her socks would be ripped apart with holes in them, which you can see when you go to Corrado. And everybody goes, well, she really didn't walk. She was in bed. No, she traveled with Jesus outside her body. Like she says, I left myself and I came back. This is the bivocation. You can go to Jesus and Calvary when you're praying the rosary. You can kneel with Mary Magdalene. You can be on Tabor with Peter, James, and John. There's no limit to prayer. But don't say, oh, I can't do that. God says, you're right, you can. I take you what you want. Well, you don't want to do this. Okay, I can't take you. You're the only one that limits God. God has such great plans for his children. And he, think about it. For 7,000 years, this thing has never happened. And it's going to happen what John wrote about 2,000 years ago. It's got to get through our pea brains. Something is coming. Something spectacular is coming. Something wonderful is coming. There's only one person that's going to be terrified, and that's the devil and his angels, his fallen angels. They're terrified because what do they do when Jesus appeared? They said, what are you going to do, throw us back into the pit again? They don't want to go into that pit of hell. And that's it's to live death forever. And so what they're doing is they're going to try their darndest to cause great grief. And most of mankind, all of mankind, deserves it. And Jesus is asking us, would you be willing to help hold? I mean, it's standing in the breach as Moses did and saying, don't destroy us all. It's standing in the breach and saying, you know, have mercy on us, God. All of us. My family, my friends, my neighbors, my co-workers, my parishioners. Have mercy on us. So he says very clearly, so you, Louisa, are the one from my family. And if we're linked to Louisa, this is what Jesus is saying to us. And the more you make my divine will known to yourself, your family doesn't want it. You have to get that through your heads. They're nice people, but they don't want this. Go ahead, have some fun, they'll say, but don't ask me to be any part of this. Fine. Just say, so Jesus, that's what Jesus says. That you have to be willing to say, God bless you. I hope you get what you want. Because God will give you everything you want. And hopefully they'll say, I want the kingdom. Hopefully they'll say, I want heaven. Hopefully they'll say, I don't want to go to hell. Right, what does Our Lady say? Our Lady said that when people die, most people go to purgatory. Many go to hell. Few go to heaven. Why? You have to be perfect to get into heaven. And in these homilies these funerals, people are nuts. He's up there playing golf. I don't think he might be looking up, but I don't think he's there. You have to be perfect. I remember one relative of mine said, well, if they're a better place now. I said, hell is a better place? They didn't care about Jesus. They didn't care about anybody. They cared about only themselves. And you think they're in heaven? You read the lives of the saints. It says the majority don't make it into heaven. You read the lives of the saints. These are holy, canonized people. And they say the majority, they don't go to heaven. So Jesus is saying this to us. My little holy humanity had been taken on the commitment to die so many times in order to satisfy divine justice. For as many times as the creatures had made the divine will die with themselves, coming, committing the great affront. Didn't we read this? Okay, great for high credit. Okay, the front of giving life to the human will, making a divine will die in them. Oh, how these deaths cost me to die and to live and to die. This was the most harrowing, and the continuous pain for me, Jesus. More so, even though my divinity was one with me and inseparable from me, in receiving these satisfactions from me, it would take the attitude and of justice. And although my holy humanity was holy and pure, it was a little lamp before that immense sun of my divinity. And I felt all the weight of the satisfactions that I was to give to this divine sun, and the pain of the decayed humanity that was to rise again in me at the cost of so many deaths of mine. See, we're going to enter into this sun. See, this is not the... Somebody told me about the four stages. And, you know, Louisa talks about the four stages. The first stage is you're in the house, the windows are closed. That's where most of humanity is. The second stage is the windows are open and the sun comes in and you go, wow, it's bright out there, but you're still in your home. You haven't gone outside. You haven't even begun to experience the spirituality. The third stage is you go outside the house, and you're in the sun, the sun's radiating all around you. That's sanctity. The fourth stage is you leave earth and you enter into the sun and participate in the sun. Only Louisa participated in that. Jesus did. He's the Son of God. Mary did. She's the Mother of God. And Louisa was given this. No human on earth possesses the fourth stage. And I hear some people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. Father Bucci says, they're only fooling themselves. To live in the divine will means to be free of every stain of sin. I go to confession every week. Plus, before I've sinned, this is what I thought, this is what I said, this is what I did, this is what I failed to do. I can't wait for that fourth stage. Jesus says, we're going to have that on earth. He says, get ready for it. So he says, I mean, think about it. I am going to produce a sign in the sky to tell all the world that the kingdom is going to be established. We are living at that time. Now is the time. This is phenomenal. And that's nothing, because we're not anything. We're dirt. We're the bottom of the barrel. Like I said, I made wine. I know it's at the bottom of the barrel. It's not very pretty. But that's us. The world doesn't care about Jesus. The world, your family, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners, they're good people. But good doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus gets us to heaven. And our job is to begin to live this abundant life. It's very, very clear what the Lord is saying. Okay, so, do you know what date we're on? Do you know what volume we're on? Volume 20? And what's the date? 27th. Okay, thank you. That's right. Volume 20, December 27th, 1926. My will maintains perfect balance in the whole of creation. Now, you have to remember this. There are starving people in the world because we're eating too much. You have to understand that Jesus says when the kingdom comes, those that have farms will feed the poor. Those that are wealthy will help the poor. Everything is going to balance out. Our job is, you love your family, to help your family. Our job today is to pray in the divine will. That's our job. So, again, he says, my holy divine will maintains perfect balance in the whole of creation. It's the balance of love, the balance of goodness, the balance of mercy, the balance of fortitude, the balance of power, and even justice. Therefore, when you hear of chastisements, of troubles, it is nothing other than the effects of my balanced will that as much as it loves creatures is not subject to become unbalanced. Otherwise, it would be defective and weak. If it lost its balance, indeed, of all the order and the sanctity of the divine will is here, it is perfect balance, always the same, without ever changing. So when you see someone starving, Jesus is saying, how much are you eating? When you see someone destitute, Jesus is saying, how much have I given you? See, if we don't have that balance, it's not in the divine will. It's like I said before, what's the difference between a diamond that Jesus is working on and soapstone? What's the difference? To Jesus, nothing. And he's working on us. He's perfecting us. He's asking us to become what he has called us to be. So, again, God is asking us to balance our life. And that's what he does. If you're eating too much, Jesus will tell you to slow down. If you're not eating enough, God, Jesus will tell you to eat. It's really interesting. If you're addicted to chocolate, he will say, stop it. Because he'll say, I don't want any more chocolate. Now, you could say, well, I want chocolate. God says, okay, fine, you can have chocolate. I don't want any chocolate. I have a little bit, but I don't want a lot. It's really funny. If you love ice cream, you don't have to throw ice cream out the window. You say, Jesus, want some ice cream? And they'll go, sure. And you go, okay. And then they'll go, that's enough. You go, okay, that's enough. Wasn't that delicious? See, it's to balance everything out. It's like with prayer. Prayer isn't kneeling down with your head tilted. That's not prayer. Prayer is to adore God and to love God and to praise God and to thank God while you're driving, while you're sitting in the park. To adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify all throughout the day. So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit.